The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. At the appointed time, the Promised One will come in glory, escorted by all the angels of heaven, and will sit upon the royal throne with all the nations assembled below. Then the Promised One will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. The sheep will be placed at the right hand, the goats on the left. The ruler will say to those on the right, "Come, you that are blessed of my Abba God, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me, naked and you clothed me. I was ill and you comforted me, in prison and you came to visit me." Then the just will ask, "When did we see you hungry and feed you, or see you thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or clothe you in your nakedness? When did we see you ill or in prison and come to visit you?" The ruler will answer them, "The truth is, every time you did this for the least of my children and my siblings, you did it for me." Then the ruler will say to those on the left, "Out of my sight, you accursed ones, into that everlasting fire prepared for the devil and the fallen angels. I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you gave me no welcome, naked and you gave me no clothing. I was ill and in prison and you did not come to visit me." Then they in turn will ask, "When did we see you hungry or thirsty or homeless or naked or ill or in prison and did not take care of you?" The answer will come, "The truth is, as often as you neglected to do this to one of the least of these, you neglected to do it to me." They will go off to eternal punishment, and the just will go off to eternal life. The Gospel of the Lord. The truth is, I'm not a fan of this time. Colonialism, Me Too, homophobia, homelessness, war and a refugee crisis, racism, ecological crisis, isolation, pandemic, job loss, business closures. I'm not a fan. Sometimes we're affected personally, sometimes directly, sometimes just tangentially, but I'm not a fan. And I'll give a shout out to the Phoenix Grill in Shaughnessy, which closed. This was my favorite restaurant in Calgary. I'm not a fan of what's going on in these times, and I'm not a fan of these times themselves. But throw on top of that this cheery message about sheep and goats, about the Jesus who we thought we knew, separating one people from another and apparently basing eternal kingdom life on how well we've scored on some eternal scorecard of taking good care of people. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of these times, and I'm not a fan of this text. One of my favorite and beloved preaching instructors, Frank Thomas, often tells his students, and he said it to me, "Don't you get in the pulpit and raise issues that you can't resolve." Well, here I am raising all sorts of issues, and I know that at least in Lutheran circles, Christians give the preacher about 10 minutes to wrap it up. So I have 10 minutes to wrap up all of our global trouble and the trouble in this text that has existed for Christians for millennia. Thank God, I'm not the one who resolves any of it. I stand in the pulpit and I point to the one who does. One thing here is clear. There is much work to do. We have a lot to dismantle, and we have a lot of care to give to those who suffer. We have a lot of care now to give to our neighbors and to our own families and our own church members as we sit separated from one another for a prolonged period of time. But we don't engage this work in order to get somewhere. We don't engage this necessary and vital work in order to earn our salvation or our place in eternal heaven. We don't engage this work to be protected from some all-consuming everlasting fire. We engage this work because it's the right thing to do. God's people have always engaged in work of which they cannot see the ending. They've engaged in works that seem to have insurmountable odds against them. We don't have to look too far in human history to see people engaged in work against catastrophic and enormous challenges. Apartheid, the Holocaust, the Inquisition, and even good work. I think here of the construction of the cathedral in Köln, Germany, that took over 600 years to build. If you can imagine being a worker on that project in its early stages. No, good people have engaged in good work, in huge projects, in seemingly unwinnable contests for all time throughout human history. And they and we engage in this work because it is a good thing to do, a right thing to do. It is a good way to commit ourselves. I turn now to the prayer that is commonly known as the prayer of Holden Village. It's printed for us in our ELW in the Vespers service and very often used by our bishop in addressing Lutheran Christians throughout Alberta and the territories. Oh God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we do have paths as yet untrodden and perils unknown, ventures of which we cannot see the ending, that we are called to by our good, powerful, and gracious God. We are called to dismantle the misogynistic, homophobic, racist, colonialist systems that we have inherited and from which we continue to benefit. We are called to nurture and care and mend our fragile ecosystems that sit on the brink of destruction. We are called to stick together and to build community, to care for our families and our neighbors, no matter how long this pandemic may last or what it may cost us. Thank God we are not the managers of these projects. We are the workers. We are called day by day to work in these great and vast challenges by the one who gives us subtle cues, and the one who manages us all, and the one who is faithful to see them to completion. God in Jesus is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, and we will engage this work, the work of our time. We will engage it tirelessly for as long as it takes, not because it earns us any eternal reward, not because we get any merit, not because we're afraid of some eternal, all-consuming fire, but because it is the right thing to do. Which leaves us with sheep and goats. This passage seems to be about people. It seems to be about Jesus finally going back on his word that he has given us grace upon grace upon grace, and we are given a place in his kingdom simply by being related to him. It seems to be about him going back on that word and saying, no, I didn't mean it. Some of you actually are sheep, and some of you actually are goats, and I'm going to sort this out in the end. This passage seems to be about people, but in fact, it is not about people. It is not about Jesus deciding some people are worthy of eternal life and some people worthy of eternal damnation. But it is about people in another sense. It's about every person. It's about me and it's about you. And I'll begin this part of the sermon by saying, echoing back to the beginning of the text, at the appointed time, the promised one will come in glory, escorted by all the angels of heaven. And I'll ask you, when does that happen? When is it? What is the appointed time that the promised one comes in glory, escorted by all the angels of heaven? See, the first coming of Jesus happened 2,000 years ago, and that coming lasted about 33 years. But the deal is that the second coming of Jesus has been happening ever since then. The promised one, the appointed time of the promised one coming, happens whenever anyone says, Jesus, you're welcome in my life. Jesus, come into my heart, into my circumstances, into my world. I give myself over to your way, to your life, to your image being perfected in me. The appointed time is all the time. It's every day. It's every moment. And for those of us who are baptized into Christ, it's every day. I'll remind you that Luther said we need a daily reminder of our baptism and of our promise, of our commitment to letting Jesus have a home in us, because the old version of ourselves is a really good swimmer. We drown out our sin and our evilness and our selfishness one day, and somehow when we sleep, those things creep back into us, such that we need to get up again and recommit. We need to re-invite Jesus to reign in our lives as King every single day. And when Jesus comes at that appointed time, whether it's the first time or the next time, he begins to take inventory. He comes into our very lives, into our thoughts, and into our actions, and he says, this thing inside of you is a goat, and it has to go. This good-heartedness that you have, it's a sheep, and it can stay. It's a blessed member of the kingdom. It is as if all of our thoughts and our actions are paraded before him, in front of us, and he throws some things out into the fire and some things he blesses. This is what Christianity is. This is what the church is. It is a commitment to being formed into the likeness of Christ over and over, every moment, every day. And I'll be the first to confess that sometimes I forget my baptism. Sometimes I forget my commitment, and sometimes I lapse right back into selfishness, and it becomes all about me, all about my comfort, all about my entertainment, and all about what I want to do next. But those huge projects to which we all have been called don't go away when I'm throwing my personal tantrums. And Jesus stands at the door and knocks and begs me to come back to the font and remember the one to whom I have committed and the work to which I am consigned. Not because I am a slave, but because these things are the right thing to do. And because, frankly, life is better in Christ than not. We can willingly endure the parading of our thoughts and our actions in front of the Christ who purifies us and makes us into his own image, because along with that purifying and along with that sorting out of sheep and goats come the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This also is the life of a Christian. It is filled with goodness and joy, with love and peace. I dare say we know patience and self-control no other way other than we submit to the one who comes at his appointed time as a promise to do this work in us. This is not our work. We are being refined and made into the image of Christ by his hand, by his presence, and by his graciousness. He is working it out in his own time and in his own way. And we do well to remember that our God has called us as servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. We beg for strength to go out with good courage, because we don't know where we're going, but only that God's hand is leading us and God's love supporting us through Jesus Christ, who is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Amen. I raised a lot of issues I can't resolve. But thank God it's not up to me to resolve them. And thank God it's not up to us. Thank God it's up to God. And thank God that Jesus has begun a good work in each one of us and is faithful to see it to completion. Thank God this is the King we enthrone and worship. Amen.